Last week, we looked at the first seven verses we got on our belt. We'll look at seven more verses, God willing, today. I just want to kind of visit here a little bit. Blessed be God, verse 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God exclusively has the market cornered on comfort, and that's what the verse tells us. He comforted us in all of our tribulation. And there's a reason for that, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and they do. And sufferings, you know, here's the other part too. You think sufferings happen and they're not sufferings in Christ. Well, I wasn't suffering because I was communicating the gospel. I was just suffering, you know, general purpose suffering. Sickness or death in the family or bad relationships or whatever it was. So that wasn't suffering in Christ. No, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. Christ at some point signed off on it. You get that? Why did this happen? Why did this? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I've just never had the answer. And I proposed last week, maybe on when we're in the boss's office on payday, he might explain that. I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't think at that point it will matter. Well, maybe it won't. I don't know. Maybe it'll matter quite a bunch. And maybe God, in his wisdom, will show you, this is why, this is why, this is why, this is why. And you'll say, oh, one, he's all wise. Two, he loves us. And it will all come clear to you, I think, at that point. Right now, I don't know. I'm not God. People come up and say, why does, and I say, they say, why does God stop? Please don't finish that question. Please just don't. I don't know. I'm not God. I would do it a lot different and poorly. And he's been running the universe for a long time. And we can sit and second guess him, but that's kind of a fool's errand too. You know, I know more than he does. I'm a lot smarter than he is, and I kind of wish he had listened to me. I wish there was a suggestion box in heaven, and every time I told him, you know, come to the front and do it this way, God, he'd listen to me. That's not a good idea. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Salvation there, I think that means deliverance. Why do you think that? Because of verse 10, who delivereth us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I don't think it means salvation in the sense of we're going to heaven when we die. That's all. He's writing to a church. That's all a given. He means delivering us out of the situation. Is that important? If you're going through a tough time, it's very important. And the other part about the equation is he comforts us while tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If we don't accept God's comfort, his consolation, his consoling, his comfort, what have we got to give to anybody else? Is that important? Only if you love everybody else. I think it's vitally important, so much so, after last week I felt like a miserable failure. I mean, I really, really did. I was praying long about Monday or Tuesday, and I was like, Lord, you know, the one thing in my ministry, if I can look at one thing I haven't been able to successfully communicate, you're God of all comfort. It's really important because we have people who still, listen closely, we have people still broken, and we have people who have gone, had amazingly bad things happen, and they're walking in victory. What's the one comfort, the comfort experience, the God consoling us, because it's much more than him just loving us. That's a given. It's him strengthening. Being able to get up under us, gird us up, and able to deliver us. I was really miserable about this. I mean, really, like, I'm just going to resign. Nobody gets it. It's me. It's not God. It's not God. It's me. I just can't communicate it. I don't have it. I'm quitting. God never accept my resignation. I've resigned probably an average of once a week since we started. Okay, an overstatement to be sure, but a lot of times. And I feel this way. I mean, I strongly feel this, like I try and I try and I try and they just don't get it. And so God directed me, I think, wonderfully to a passage in a book, not the Bible even, just a book that I read a long time ago. And I'm going to read it to you. And it's kind of it's a page and a half. It's I don't do this all the time, but this says what I was feeling. And I really feel like God directed me to this place in this book. It's called The Singer. There's a trilogy, The Singer, The Song, and The Finale. The Singer is Jesus. And it's kind of allegory. And the song is the gospel, and the finale is Revelation. And I don't really endorse it so much because the theology in some places is a little hinky. But it's by and large, it's pretty good, okay? It's not, if you want to go get it, fine, I don't care. But if you would listen, the miller, who was still at work, seemed most determined to finish out his toil by starlight. It was only by the merest chance he found the singer sleeping by the stream just above the giant wheel. For a moment he saw the singer only as vagrant and was inclined to drive him from the premises, but then he changed his mind and invited him to share the evening meal. As they went into the grain room, the singer looked upon the great machine which turned the giant stones which milled the grist. The singer was about to ask him when he found the mason, where he found the mason to quarry such impressive stones, when suddenly he discovered that one of the miller's hands was badly scarred and crippled. "Can you run so great a stone with but a single hand?" the singer asked. "I manage, though it always was much easier with two." "Did you lose your hand in this machinery?" "I was in much too great a hurry 3 harvest times ago. I was trying to sweep the grist away when I dropped my broom upon the floor stone. When I reached to pick it up, the great stone caught my arm and hand, and when they rolled the grinder back, this was all that I had left," he said. "I will," observed the singer, "make it useful once again, if you will just desire it whole and believe it can be." "It cannot be so easy, singer. Would you wave your magic wand above such suffering and have it all be done with? I sometimes wake at midnight with a searing flame of fire and throbbing agony alive through all this twisted, dying limb. You have both hands and cannot understand this sort of pain." "I have no pain like yours, but I have a healing melody. Earthmaker gave the song to me for healing hands like yours. Already it has helped a little girl to be made whole. Was her hand as badly mangled as my own?" "It was her legs, but yes, they were." "How often I have wished that I might trade a useless hand for such a leg," the miller interrupted. "Why either? Why not simply be made whole?" "Oh, that such a healing now were possible, that speed I might regain in working at the mill. But no, it cannot be. Can you not understand? Have you no sympathy for suffering? Are you so empty of conscience as to suggest a hopeless remedy? You only add to misery by forcing me to see myself a cripple. I soon shall have to close the mill or sell it. I cannot make the necessary quota since the accident occurred." "There is power within the melody, I know, to make you well. Please, miller, trust and let me sing, and you will run the mill alone with 2 good hands." "Stop your mocking. I'm a sick old man whom life has cheated of a hand. The nightly pain has already now begun. The season of my hope is gone." The singer watched him, caught in some dread spasm of his aching circumstance. He moaned and fell upon the floor, and with his healthy fingers he held his mangled hand. His surging pain caused him to cry, "Oh God, deliver me from this body. I never can be well and whole as other men." He waited for the singer to join him in his pity, but when he raised his head for understanding, the door stood open on the night, and the singer was nowhere to be seen. Me and the singer wonder why people choose non-consolation. And so as I was praying about this, I felt God consoling me. No, you're not a miserable failure. In Jesus' life, this happened as well. And I prayed, I need a verse. And about, conservatively, a half a nanosecond later, I was directed in my thinking to Mark chapter, true story, I wouldn't lie to you. Listen, love you, wouldn't lie to you. I was directed to Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 5, and he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, you would think that, oh, see, you don't have enough belief, and then God can't work. Stop that, please. Go like this. Shake your head violently so that stupid idea falls right out. He could do no mighty work there because nobody was showing up and asking him for a mighty work. God's hand is not shortened, that he cannot deliver, that he cannot heal. What's the problem? Our lack of belief, our lack of showing up, our lack of asking. Can I get a little bit direct here and a little bit personal? If I step on your toes, I'm stepping on mine as well. We just went through the worst cold and flu season ever. Ron, how many people we prayed for people like me too? Listen, me too. I've had it for weeks. How come I haven't had prayer? Isn't that a weird thing? So, you know, I'm saying, we're not showing up. We're not saying, hey, Lord, heal me. Hey, Lord, strengthen me. Hey, Lord, console me. I think a lot of us want the victimhood. Now, before you get really, really volatile here, right? It's really happened to me. Don't you understand? It was bad. It was horrible. I know. And God will heal you. I'm just saying that plainly as I possibly can. What do you want from me? I want you walking in victory like others who've gone through horrific things and are walking in victory. That's all. I love you. I want you to be whole. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be healed. Consider this. We console us with the consolation wherewith we are consoled with. This week, God consoled me. Am I feeling bad about this? Later on, my sister died. Later on in the week, Thursday morning, early Thursday morning. Right? I mean, look, I get the call. It was 5 o'clock. Sent on my phone, Mom, and I knew. Mom doesn't call me at 5, right? I knew. And I had this, like you would. And I've been praying. As hard as I've prayed about anything, that she'd get saved. I knew she was dying. I prayed she'd get saved. And she so didn't. God saves, so I can blame God. No, that's a stupid idea. I just take his consolation. I love you, Adam. I know what I'm doing. I loved her. I'm good. And then people console me. And I'm able to console others. I'm not so broken. Oh, look what happened to me. Is this important? Yeah, well, very, very, very important. Consider in your mind, this is a hypothetical, okay? And if this happened to you, I hope it never has, but think about two girls who have been raped. Just hypothetically, okay? Now, the third girl, she's a rape victim too. But the lady she comes to, one has received the consolation of God and one hasn't. And they're both helping her. They're both ministering to her. She goes, it was horrible. And they both say, I can see that. It would be horrible. It was horrible for us. And she said, you know, it was a violation. I felt so violated, so much shame. And the two would say, shame. Yeah, got shame. I understand that. Shame. And I was so powerless. And the two would say, powerless. Yeah. Then there's between the tissues and the crying and this. And then, but you know, he was someone I was supposed to have been able to trust. And both women were in the same situation. Said, yeah, I got that. Family member, someone close, should have been able to trust him. I so couldn't. And then she goes, am I to be a victim my whole life? And the one who's never received the consolation says, yeah. That's why they call it rape victim. You see that, don't you? It happened. We can't erase the past, can't unring a bell. That's it. So sad, too bad. Live with it. And then the other one says, whoa, wait a second. God's good. He loves us. I don't define myself in victimhood. I'm walking in victory. I've forgiven the perpetrator. I love the Lord. He uses me for ministry. My life didn't end right there. And every time in my lonely time, my thoughts go back there and I replay these things over in my mind. And then that person, which person can help that person? The one who's received consolation from the Lord. This isn't optional, because if you haven't received consolation, you've got nothing to give. If you're still back in that perpetual victimhood, you've got nothing to give. And so the one thing I was thinking last week is I didn't communicate that, and I hope I've communicated it now, but it's really up to you to receive. Here's what I think. Here's what I really think. It's my heart of hearts. Now, do you remember, like, during the thing I was just reading? Oh, you can't know what it's like because you have two healthy hands. You don't really think that, do you? Do I have to go through the same exact? Because his people have been consoling me this week, and I said to them, oh, you lost a sister too? Well, no, it was a brother. Oh, he died of cervical cancer? Oh, how charming. I wonder how that happened. And I couldn't receive anything from anybody unless they had a 58-year-old sister who died from too much cigarettes. By the way, the takeaway from this, cigarettes are bad, don't smoke. I mean, listen, if we can learn anything, we can learn that. So I can't receive any consolation from anybody unless they have the exact same thing happen, right? Wrong. That's so wrong. Do you realize how wrong that is? God consoles everybody about everything. He's the God of all consolation. And when we take that and we let it heal us and we let God speak into our lives, now we have that for everybody else. And I don't know how else to say it. Again, what do you want? Just healing for your life. Just victory. Just overcoming like God wants. Because He consoled me twice this week, significantly, I think. And it's, okay, it wasn't rape. I'll admit that readily, okay? It wasn't a horrific, but he's been consoling me for my whole life. You want to start comparing about who's the most broken, who the most bad things happen to? You really don't want to go there, do you? Because last week we started by Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. How many people here have been shipwrecked three times? You know what I mean? He's beaten with Rod Stone. Hey, I get this a little bit about suffering. I know all about it. But let me tell you something about this. I was in jail. I was beaten. Hey, me and my buddy there, we were singing praises to Jesus, and we got the whole place rocking. I know a little bit about this. I know a little bit about consolation. And you're saying, well, you see, all God wants us to do is just, I hope I say enough about this, God wants us to receive. He wants us to be made whole. He wants us to be complete. He doesn't want to live us to live in a state of perpetual victimhood. Please, let him take that away from you. The reason I say this, like about, I'm sharing like some personal stuff here, right? You know, like my sister dying this week, right? I'm not trying to, in some crazy way, make me the victim so you all come back and say, oh, Adam, you poor baby, you. Right? I don't, who wants that? It was a bad, tragic thing. I can't unring a bell. I can't go back and erase the past. All I can do is receive God's healing. Does he want me healed? Yeah. Am I healed by him? Sure. It's easy. Okay, let's go on. Either I made the point or I don't. If you guys cast aside and say, oh, but you don't understand. Well, I guess I don't then. I guess I don't. And I hope, verse 7, we ended here last week, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. I can't say any better than that. Verse 8, we would not, brethren, have your ignorance. You know, I always talk about times the most ignorant is when Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this thing. We would have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Now, this is different. Well, what was that all about? He doesn't mention. Now, you read commentary, and there's all kinds of hypotheticals because he's in Ephesus, right? It was the riot at Ephesus. It was the pushback. It was the It was this, it was that, and all the different commentators commentate on the different things. You know why it's left blank, I think? So we can put our stuff right in there with... I always think in Scripture when things are left easily filled details, left vague, it's the word can speak directly to us. We had a lot of trouble. We had a lot of persecution. We had some stuff happen, which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Aha! See, Adam? Despairing even of life. Oh, I get that. I get that. I don't want a show of hands. I do not. I think it would probably be close to 100%, unless you're young and not a lot of stuff has happened to you yet. For the longest time, I think we were like, we were married for a long, long time before anyone in my life died significantly. When we got married, I had one set of grandparents. She had both sets of her, no. She had a lot of grandparents. We had a lot of people in our lives, and not hardly anyone had died yet, you know. Now, out of all, just my mom's left out of our parents, you know. It's a lot of stuff has happened in 36 years, right? But bad stuff's going to happen to everybody at one time or another. If you keep breathing long enough, people you know and love are going to die, or other things are going to happen. And we despair even of life sometimes. I get that. I understand what that's all about. Just don't want to go on. I'm so tired. Now, what he's not saying is that we entertain thoughts of suicide. That's right out. And I'm not saying that in a guilty way. I'm saying this. We despair of life, and then one of the thoughts that creep in, I just want to end it all. I don't want to go on breathing. I just want to stop the pain. One, you have no idea it's going to stop the pain. Two, when you're trying to kill your body's fine. Listen, your body got dressed and got you here this morning. Nothing wrong with your body. And that thing you're trying to kill doesn't reside in your body. You're trying to kill that loneliness, that feeling, that sorrow, that agony, that, I can't go on. It's just so, Paul says, yeah, I see that. We did that. We despaired of even life itself. We were tired of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We had this death sentence. We got handed the death sentence, but we handed it to ourselves. It wasn't somebody who was out to get him, though a lot of people were out to get him. We had this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, this is wonderful. Listen, he just turned a corner. If you don't know that, I don't think you were listening very hard. We were so depressed, man. We were ready to, like, just cash it in. I can't go on. And you know what? That was a really good thing. Because that death sentence coming down, being handed down, like, yeah. You know what? My flesh is just like, flesh. I'm tired. My flesh is tired. And by the way, when I talk about that perpetual victimhood, you know what I get? Well, I've tried so hard to... You don't want to finish that sentence, do you? You tried? What? You tried? That's like trying to forgive. You don't try, you just forgive. In faith, best you know how. We don't try. You mean you strove in the power of your flesh to overcome flesh? Paul knows nothing of this. He says, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. And there was a reason for that we should not trust in ourselves. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but that we should trust in him who raises the dead. This is wonderful to me. This is everything. This changes everything. This is a game changer. This was so terrible. I don't want to mock your misery. Yes, it was. Absolutely. It was horrible, it was terrible, it shouldn't happen to anybody ever in the history of the world. It shouldn't happen. And by the way, it was still sin for that person. And God doesn't okay sin, but he lets people sin against us. He lets us sin against others, only all the time. You are married, right? you got two sinners living in the same house. What happens? All kinds of stuff, right? What happens? Two sinners in the same house. A lot of stuff happens, right? We sin against them, they sin against us. It's back and forth. God doesn't want us to sin, but he allows it in our lives. Why? You know, when you come to the end of yourself, that's a good place. Then you look up, you trust. You don't trust in yourself, but you trust in God who raises the dead. I've only seen it. You know why I worship Jesus? Among other things, he raises the dead. Dead relationships? I've seen him miraculously resurrected. Dead. Anything that's dead, dying, it's too late. It's hopeless. It can't be fixed. Jesus says, oh yeah? Let me add it. Is there anything he can't fix? I've never seen it. I've never seen anything he can't fix. He could fix this country if we'd allow him. He could fix this country. He could fix our national debt if we'd let him. If we repented, he could bless us. We could be like a prosperous, wonderful, God-fearing nation again. I don't know that we ever were all those things, but when we come to the end of ourselves, it's a good place. Now, you're still figuring all this stuff out. I was raped, you don't understand. I do understand, it was horrible. And I've tried to receive God's consolation. You receive God's consolation. It's not about striving. It's just, Lord, just these things happened in the course of the week, I think, to make sermon illustration points. I was feeling really bad about my ability, and God's like, it's not your ability. People have free will. They can choose to reject or accept what you're saying. He showed me then that story. That story was, it's hypothetical, it's a story, but isn't it true in the life of Jesus? It's true in Mark chapter 6. Coming to an end of ourselves is a good place. It just is. Lord, I ain't got much. Here I am, living sacrifice. That means death, by the way. If you want to use me, go ahead and use me, but you know what you're working with. He goes, oh, I know what I can. I know what I'm working with. I can fix anything. I can take care. I can put it back together. I can resurrect. I can. So we didn't trust in ourselves. We trust in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from a great death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You glad Paul didn't commit suicide? I was pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much we despaired even of life. You have no idea what we were enduring. You're glad he didn't just say, I'm done. I'm cast. You get so much ministry, so much New Testament yet to be written. There's so much more miracles God wants to use in his life. There's so much more. God raises the dead. It's dead. It's forget about it. It's too far gone. I says, I ain't even started working on you yet. I ain't even started the process yet. You got so much more. You have no idea. He delivered us from a great death, and he doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He has delivered us in the past. He's delivering us today. He's going to deliver us in the future. Complete deliverance. What are you up against? Bad stuff. You're living on this earth, right? In this country at this time, what are you up against? Bad stuff. I know it. I know it. I know it to be true. Absolutely. What have you gone through? Bad stuff. People have sinned against you. You sinned against others. Bad stuff. By the way, if you sin, repent. People sin against you, forgive. It's really easy to figure out. It's not always easy to do. Repent is easy to do. Lord, I repent. Not just say it, but you got to understand his ways are better than our ways. Whatever, I don't want to do that anymore. It always ends up broken. I think it's going to be good, and it's never good. When you sin, repent. That easy. People sin against you, forgive. That easy. Well, I've tried to, you tried to feel good about what happened. That won't happen. Once you sin against somebody sin against you, you want forgiveness, right? I sin against you, I won't forget. Oh, honey, forgive me. I'm going to sleep on a couch for a month. I'm going to get a roses every day. I'm going to sit around with my face all, you know, in the mud and look, you know, a long face. And hopefully someday she'll forgive me, right? Oh, my goodness, our relationship would really be pretty bad if that was the case. No, I sinned. She says, forget about it. Does she feel good about what I'd done? Only never. Only never. But it's not. That's not what forgiveness is. Is there a time when we don't forgive? I've never seen one. And you think forgiveness means trusting that person again. Listen, if somebody comes among us and they're like a pedophile, are they welcome here? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's not a sin that Jesus won't redeem from. Does that mean we have to, they want to be in charge of nursery, we have to make them? No. No. You see what I'm saying there? I'm not saying no wisdom, but I'm saying forgive in every situation. This wasn't even in my notes, the notes that I never have. Just free, okay? I'm not in charge of that. He delivers us from greater death. He doth deliver us, and he will yet deliver us. I love that. I love that. Complete deliverance in Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're up against. No, I didn't go through it, but that doesn't matter. I've gone through my own stuff. Let's not compare whose stuff is worse. He will console us. He delivers. He has delivered. He is delivering, and he will deliver us. I almost feel like here I want to say any questions, but there might be, and I don't want that, right? Yet also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, for the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Hey, you guys are helping in this process too. How? By prayer, one. The gift bestowed upon us, I think, means financial remuneration, but I want to look at the first part first. You also helping together by prayer for us. Hey, man, Paul and, I don't remember if it's Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas at this point. I think it's Paul and Barnabas still, but I'm not sure. Paul and Barnabas, man, they're really up against it. They've been getting all kinds of persecutions. And so here's the church at Corinth praying. Hey, thanks for praying for us. I don't think it's a sarcasm, by the way, although he does use sarcasm in this book a lot of times. I think he means, hey, thanks for praying for us. Hey, thanks for praying for us. And by the way, hey, thanks for praying for me. Thanks for praying for me this week. I appreciate that. Thanks for praying about me in general. I really appreciate that. Oh, you don't need to, though. I mean, I'm awesome. I can do this all by myself. I don't need God to do this, right? But thanks for praying anyway. No. No, that's silly. Thanks for praying. I'm one or two choices away from blowing this ministry out of the water and never being able to. Now, I want to tell you something. My sincere, heartfelt, I don't ever want to do anything that's going to embarrass the ministry or embarrass Jesus Christ or make you like, oh, yeah, Adam. Yeah, I don't ever want to do that. I'm committed to not doing that. Very anxiously, Sue says, you know, you can make a choice and you can single-handedly blow this thing up. I'm like, yeah, I so could. And there's a lot of people dependent on me to live a holy life. I get that. I really, really want to. So I'm going to really double my efforts. Yeah, I think having the right heart is a good thing, but if this is all on my efforts, I'm packing it in now. Forget about it. Just consider it's already have happened. Find another church. God bless you. Thanks for coming. We have some lovely parting gifts. Look, it's not on my effort. If it's all on my effort, I told you before, Satan laughs at white knuckles. I'm just trusting in God. I'm trusting in God who's able to, who delivers. He's delivered me out of a lot of pickles. Oh, I can tell you, I can stand here and give you story after story after story after story where he just showed up at the right time and pulled my bacon out of the fat, or he's doing it right now, this week. So, because like, you know, I pray, and we're going over my mom's Thursday because my sister passed Thursday early in the morning, so we're going over my mom's house. And I was, listen, I'm such a curmudgeon when it comes to death. No, I really, really am. I hate it. I don't even know what to do with it. I never know what to say. And if I say anything, it's going to be the wrong thing. Because I always feel like I want to, you know, they need some sound theology at this point. Because they're saying some stupid things if they just listen to what the Bible said and, oh, wait a second, they don't need that, do they? So I was praying and I said, you know, Suze, listen, we prayed before I went over there. And I said, you know, if you see me starting to sail off into troubled waters there and start saying the wrong thing, you know, give me the look, I'll get it, and I'll pull in the reins and kind of throttle back and go in the right direction again. I don't trust me. I trust God, and I trust that he's given me a wife who can kind of hopefully see me through those things. I don't trust me. I trust in God. Is that well-placed trust? Well, he's able to deliver us from a great death. He doth deliver us. In whom we trust, and he will yet deliver us. And your prayers count too. Your prayers matter. Does God work independent of prayers? I think sometimes. I think he does things we're not even praying about. But I think, like, I think when we pray, I don't understand the whole what it is about prayer. He's sovereign. He'll do. If you pray, thy kingdom don't come, will it come? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely it will. I mean, why would you pray that? But he's got some plans. He's going to do it with or without our prayer. But I don't understand, but I want to be praying. I want to be on board. I think he will do some incredible super things when we pray. Absolutely, because of prayer. Thanks for the prayers, guys. I really appreciate that. We gotta be a praying church. We've got to be known as a praying church. And also thanks for the gift bestowed upon us. By the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For the rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, we already talked about, listen, we can go on and on about fleshly wisdom. We talked about that so much in 1 Corinthians. I hope you understand. This isn't about your great discerning, your ability to figure it out, you're a super smart guy, and so, no, it's not like that at all. Our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, is sincerity important? Yep. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. What is he talking about? I think he's talking about this whole thing up till now. What grace of God? Well, comforting, the consolation that he's given. We've had our conversation, our manner of life, through the valleys, through the difficulties, through the despairing of life, through God delivering us, through God raising us up out of all these situations. It's all God's grace. And it wasn't because we were so smart, because we figured it out. It wasn't in fleshly wisdom. It was in the grace of God. That's why I say, listen. Does God want you walking in victory? Yeah. Why? It's the grace of God. You think he's just gracious towards me and nobody else? You think he chooses people to be gracious to? That's why I said the healing's available for everybody. The consolation's available for everybody. Your situation is not special. You're not permanently broken beyond the ability of God to fix. What's the mechanism? Grace, because you don't deserve fixing any more than I do. Now, you accept God's grace or you don't, like in salvation, right? You get saved or you don't. Well, it's like anything else. You know, I'll figure my way out of it. I'll figure how to forgive this guy. I'll figure out how to unring this bell. I'll figure out how to wipe my memories clean of all this bad stuff. It's not figuring. It's God's grace. I'm kind of happy about that because God's grace is available to anyone who wants it. I can sit here and say he wants us walking in victory because I know this grace is available to everyone who wants it, to everyone who asks, for every reason. Now, he lets us go through these bad things. People sin against us and God signs off on that. You say, not really. Yeah, really. I mean, look at life. And he's saying, I'm building a man of God, I'm building a woman of God. Let me console you. Let me show you why it's okay. Let me just hold you. Let me hug you. Let me strengthen you. Let me walk beside you and carry you through the situation. Well, I'll figure it out. No, you won't. No, it's not by worldly wisdom. It's by the grace of God. Let's keep moving. I know I'm going over and over and over these things, but if I thought I could just lightly brush on them and move on. I only planned on 7 verses, and I wanted to emphasize all these things so that we kind of get it. You know what I mean? I don't want us to not understand it. I want you to make a conscious effort to stay broken. I'm going to be broken, and that's all there is to it. Or just get fixed. Get healed. Let God console you. But I don't want there to be any ambiguity. We've had our conversation, our manner of life in this world, and more abundantly to you would, for we write, verse 13, for we write none of the things unto you, that what you read or acknowledged, that I trust you shall acknowledge even till the end. As also we have acknowledged us in part, that we also,
that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing in two directions here. Listen, listen to what I'm saying, Paul says, because you know what, at the end of the day, you're the reason I rejoice. You're thinking like, Corinthians? They're the reason Paul rejoices? You mean the church where the guy's living with his stepmom? The ones who are getting drunk at communion? The ones who are fighting? I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. All this brokenness, that's what Paul's rejoicing? Yeah, he is. At the end of the day, yeah. I'm rejoicing because, well, you're going to heaven. Two, I see God's work in your life. And by the way, I get depressed sometimes. I really do. I think I'm very ineffectual. But I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it's really, really broken, really needs to be fixed, or it's quirky and this way God made me. I don't know. I'm not an introspection guy. If I were preaching in a room full of 100 people and they were all not saved, and I shared the gospel with them, and 98 got saved, you'd say, hallelujah. I'd say, what did I do wrong? How come those two people didn't get saved? You say, you wouldn't really do that. I'm overselling the idea, but I kind of do. I kind of focus on the why isn't this person getting it? And it makes me so crazy. And I look inward. The gospel is the gospel. This isn't the problem. This book is not the problem. Must be me. Must be me. That's the intangible. That's the wild card in all this. That's the one that, so it must be me. Right? That's my tendency. But sometimes when I'm more real, sometimes I think, you know, I see a lot of people getting a lot of things. I see some growth happen. I see, and by the way, I don't want to take credit for that, and I shouldn't take blame for the other. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to take credit for your growth, and I shouldn't take blame, but I kind of do. I don't want to take credit for your growth. The Word of God is the Word of God, is the balm that heals. It is what you need. It's the wisdom that you need to set your compass by. It's the direction you need to go. Whatever's ailing you, whatever's ailing your relationships, your work ethic, your personality, your quirks, your brokenness, whatever's ailing you, the Word of God is the answer. So I don't want to stand in and say, look at what I've done and look at how great I, because guess what? I didn't. The Word of God did. If you're fixed and you were broken, praise God for his wonderful word. And so with that, there's much rejoicing. Paul founded this church. And I'm not your spiritual dad in the sense I led a lot of you to the Lord and stuff like that. That's okay. That's okay, because I still feel like John the Apostle, he says, no greater joy than I see my children walking in truth. You didn't even have to be my children. When I see you walking in truth, when I see you overcoming, when I see you able to keep on, and I see, you know, good things happening, and I see like relationships put back together, and I see you getting and understanding and walking in victory. I love that. Oh, I love that. You're rejoicing. He goes on to say something. This is less easy for me to say. We are your rejoicing. We are your rejoicing. Did I hear that right? Is he bragging? A little bit. In this, Paul's saying, no, I'm the real deal. Follow me as I follow Christ. You can brag me up. Paul's saying, would you like your church founded by the Apostle Paul? Because I so would. I would brag about that. Is anything to brag up about me, Adam? I don't know. I would say this. You know what? I am. I'm authentic. I'm sincere. No, I really am. I don't know. Does that sound arrogant? I don't want it to be. I'm sold out for Jesus Christ. I'm not half-hearted. I'm not like, I'm here for the long haul. When are you leaving this church? Never. Rapture? When I get a better offer? No. There's no better offer. When God says, I don't want you there anymore, I want you somewhere else. Or home. That's when I'm... Listen, I'm all in. I'm not holding anything back. There's nothing out of bounds. I want to tell you the truth so much. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you're, I think it's something to brag about. I think, you know, authentic is something to brag about. Have you been in church where, like, you don't know? The guy, he's like, he just sounds like he's saying this just for the sake of saying this. I hope you don't think that about me. No, I think it's something braggable. Look, God's doing a mighty work among us. Oh, this morning, numbers are down.
weather's bad and stuff like that. I think he's doing a mighty work among us. You all in? Are you? Here I am, Lord. Do whatever you want with me. And by the way, that doesn't mean here. It probably means most of the ministry that happens in your life is outside these four walls. That's fine. Maybe it's with another church altogether. That's fine too. Be all in. Don't hold anything back. If I showed you one thing, I hope I showed you that. Don't fiddle and diddle with the things of God. Don't like, a little religion's okay. Little religion is a horrible thing. That's not what I'm asking. Are you all in for Jesus Christ? Be all in. That's all. And here he's saying, like, you know, as also we have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as also you are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I brag you guys up all the time. Somebody says, how's it going? I say, oh, this, and I tell them all kinds of good stuff. Is there bad stuff happening here? Oh, yeah, yeah. They're sinners, but I don't tell them that part. Why? Well, I don't want to sound like, oh, my life is so hard, and oh, please pray for me. It's so terrible ministering, and it's not. I think it's awesome that I get to be a part of what God's doing to any degree whatsoever. Really, Lord, you want me to teach? Isn't that like the inmates running the asylum? Isn't that, you know what I mean? Oh, I think it's a wonderful thing. And then two, I love covers all. I don't want to show you dirty laundry to everybody. I have no desire to do that. So I'm talking with, you know, having lunch with Brownie. Oh, you know what this one said? And this one, and tell them all the dirty stuff. No. As far as he knows, we have the perfect church. And enviable, and he should, in his dreams, want to come down here and teach in this church. Why? You're my bragging. You're my boast. That's what he's saying here. I like that. You know, I want to focus on the positive. At the end of the day, I don't want to be a negative person. Although, like, we do go through some stuff, don't we? Look, and my time spent. I got in here. Are you in that pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life? I hope not. But I know that if you keep breathing, eventually it's going to happen at one point or another. Maybe it's already happened in the past. Let me tell you something. But God, He will fix you. He will carry you through. And you despairing of the flesh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. This flesh is hopeless. You despair. You finally giving up on that flesh, that's good. Well, I could ruin anything. But you can fix anything. A hope is in you, it's not in me. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we want to receive the consolation you have for us through death of a loved one, through feelings of inadequacy, through bad memories. We want what you've got for us. We want you to strengthen us. We want to be walking in victory. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want us to lay hold of the promises. We want to live in the promised land, Lord. Lay hold of the things for which you lay hold of us. However we sum it up, Lord, we want for us what you want for us. And the things that have happened, there's a lot of times, you know, the why question comes up. I want to set that aside for now, Lord, and just trust in you. You've been God for a long time, and I don't know why you do the things you do, but you're a good God, and you're a loving Heavenly Father. And our trust, our hope, our confidence is in you, and it's not in the flesh. Help us to get this, Lord. And help us not to say silly things like try. Lord, we don't, it's not our flesh, Lord. It's your grace. It's your goodness. This way we know at the end of the day there won't be failure, there'll be success, because your grace is sufficient to all of us all the time. And no matter what happens, Lord, your grace is there. Your mercies are new every morning, your word tells us. And we thank and praise you for that. Lord, if there's one hurting now, and they're pressed above measure, and they feel they're despairing even of life, Lord, see that one. Wrap your arms around them. Console them. Be all their strength, Lord, all their hope, their strong, mighty tower, Lord, they might run in and be safe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.